WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A memorial will be held today on the campus of Florida State University, where two students were shot and killed and four others shot and wounded Thursday. Police say the gunman was the stepson of a local sheriff's deputy. A Maryland senator visiting the immigrant mistakenly deported from Maryland to El Salvador and sent to prison. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio with details.
Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen meeting with Kilmar Abrego-Garcia in El Salvador. The senator is demanding his release. The Trump administration mistakenly deported the undocumented father from Maryland last month.
I do intend to keep at this until we ensure that Mr. Abrego-Garcia has his rights to due process.
Abrego-Garcia's wife saying, "My children and my prayers have been answered. I now know that my husband is alive. God is listening."
Secretary of State Marco Rubio suggesting the U.S. might move on from efforts for a peace deal in Ukraine if there's no progress in the coming days. This is ABC News.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Nate Bargatze's star continues to rise. The comedian is selling out theaters and has multiple TV and film projects in the pipeline. As it turns out, he wasn't busy enough, so he will host the 77th Emmy Awards broadcast. Bargatze calls the gig a huge honor to host such an iconic awards show and added that he is beyond excited to work with CBS to create a night that can be enjoyed by families around the world. Huh. You might not have heard Amanda Bynes' name in a while, but the former child star is excited to announce that she is now on OnlyFans. That's right, the What a Girl Wants star says fans can interact with her for just $50 a month. But hold on, perverts, there is a catch. Bynes says she will not offer any racy content. I know what you're thinking. I already pay OnlyFans thousands of dollars a month to watch attractive women bake cookies and read scripture. Good luck, Amanda. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers host the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Athletics. Tonight at AmFam Field, Freddy Peralta on the mound for the crew. NBA, the Bucks head to Indianapolis to play the Pacers tomorrow at noon for game one of their best of seven playoff series. Damian Lillard back at practice just a month after being diagnosed with a blood clot, but not active yet. Bobby Portis back from that 25-game suspension.
You know, I've been suspended for a little minute, so it's fun to just practice for real, and get up and down with the guys, so it's fun being in the mix with the guys and trending towards the playoffs, and it's fun to just be on the court with the guys. So it was a great day in the office.
Giannis asked about his advice to younger teammates who've never played in a postseason game.
My first playoff, I got injected. My first playoff, I tackled somebody. See, it doesn't get worse than that.
But, yeah, just anybody that plays for the first time in the playoffs, just do not tackle somebody. You know, that would be my advice.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Earl Ingram.
Tomorrow on the Earl Ingram Show, I'm thrilled to have my friend and co-host Sandy Williams back with me. Sandy and I will engage in a deep conversation about the most significant issues of the week.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with scattered showers or even an isolated thunderstorm today. A couple of isolated stronger storms are also possible, so be weather aware today. Our high in the mid-60s. Tonight, we're going to drop to 40. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 55. Easter Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we're going to play a little Which Whopper's Worst? And I'm not talking about burgers. Which lie of the week is the worst lie? Tune in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Good morning. I'm Ben Jarbo joining you this morning, covering for Farm Director Pam Yonke while she is out on vacation. And you are listening to the Midwest Farm Report. It looks like we may have some storms rolling through today, but some warmer temperatures to go along with them. We'll give you that full weather forecast in just a few minutes with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Also this morning, we hear from our friends at the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board as Pam Yonke has a chat with Jonathan Gibbs about some new research that is coming out. And with the Midwest Horse Fair concluding last weekend, it is a good time to think about the best ways to keep your horses healthy this spring. Stephanie Hoff has the details on the vaccines to consider for your horses with DACAP vet Dr. Heather Roney. Also on the docket, we learn about some new technology that helps speed up the process of putting new structures on your farm. I had a chat with Austin Tyler, a drafter and surveyor with the Shrine Group, to learn about the use of 3D scanners for surveying. But coming up next, Pam Yonke talks with Brian Luck about some changes that are happening with the Custom Operator Survey here in Wisconsin. Make sure to stay tuned in for this action-packed episode.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Pause for a moment of clean row calm. Brought to you by Storin Corn Herbicide. Preserve this moment of weed-free serenity at storinwontquit.com or see your Syngenta retailer today. Always read and follow label instructions.
Information is power in Wisconsin agriculture these days, so having access to that information is key. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. But in 2025, one piece of information that farmers turn to is going through a change. The Wisconsin Custom Operator Guidance, which basically gives farmers the rates being charged across the state for multiple services from spring tillage and planting right on through to fall harvest. It includes manure applications, hay harvesting, and basically any service that a farm would be looking for. In the past, that survey was conducted by the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, but this year, that's changing. Brian Luck, University Extension Ag Engineer, explains what's changing and how you can get involved in the survey this year.
Yeah, Pam, thanks. We have done that in the past. Since I've been here, I got here in 2014 or so, we've worked with the Wisconsin / National Ag Statistics Service to conduct the custom rate survey in Wisconsin. Been a great relationship along the way. We've worked well with them. No complaints there. I will just have to admit to you that the cost got exorbitant. We weren't able to afford it. We didn't have any grant funding to support this, and we still wanted to prioritize it. So we looked around the country, and there's some other states that do this, and they kind of do it differently. What they do is in-house. They sort of make the survey themselves, administer that survey to different groups across the state, Iowa being a good example, and then do the statistical analysis, and that's something we can do here. So a little less expensive to do it that way, and we're kind of building. This is our first year to try it. We're going to try to build our sort of database and our folks that are able to get the survey and take it as we move forward.
You got a couple different disciplines that are cooperating on campus, too, to reach out to many different groups.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're coordinating with Dr. Paul Mitchell over in Ag and Applied Economics. We're working on, I'm involved with Biological Systems Engineering, and then we have an individual from the Division of Extension helping us out as well. So it's kind of a group effort here, and we're trying to put together a nice survey that will provide good data for Wisconsin farmers and custom operators.
Well, and we do have a lot of different custom operators, Brian, in the state of Wisconsin, ranging from manure applicators right on through to the people that are going to plant or harvest for you. Give me a little sense on questions that are going to be asked, groups that are already being approached.
Absolutely. So as far as I can tell, all of that is in the survey. So we have a section on planting. We have a section on tillage, manure application, harvest in both silage and grain, yep, et cetera. We're mm-hmm. doing trucking fees, et cetera. So we did our best to sort of work off of the survey we had before, yeah, with an Ag Statistics Service, but we've added a few extra little things that we're kind of interested in as well in there. We're also currently taking feedback, so I don't want to blow up anybody's email address, but if you get a hold of this survey and you see something glaring in there that's not present, please let us know, because we're able to adjust this and make it, tailor it for folks in Wisconsin, which is exactly what we want to do.
Now, do you want the actual operators, the agribusinesses providing this service primarily responding, Brian, or what if I'm the one that writes the check?
I think both would be fine. Yeah, we're targeting, say, our Wisconsin custom operator group, yeah, would be a great one. The manure haulers would be a great one, et cetera. But I think a distribution, because what we're trying to do is kind of break the state down in a few, yeah, regions, mm-hmm, and send this data out so that, you know, prices vary across regions, north to south, east to west. Mm-hmm. So, and there's regions that agribusiness folks don't get to. So if you have custom work done and you want to try to look and see what's in there and fill out the survey, provide us another data point, we'll absolutely take it. So across the board, even farmers that are doing a little custom work on the side, yeah, the more data we get, the better off we can sort of understand the, let's call it, the error within, mm-hmm, the data we're collecting, mm-hmm, and that tells us better about how, what the actual average price somebody should be paying is.
I never thought about how many of those operators come from outside our borders. Do you have a wild idea, Brian? Are we consumers of services from people outside Wisconsin, or are we pretty much homegrown when it comes to custom operations?
A little bit of both. I don't have a good idea, I'll be honest with you, but I'm saying if you're right on the border and, yeah, there's a, yeah, somebody in the a mile down the road in Illinois or Iowa, Minnesota, et cetera, they probably come in. But, you know, generally, I think we have pretty good coverage with our, yeah, agribusiness, yeah, folks that are doing custom operation, that we generally get that in Wisconsin. We are trying to limit it to Wisconsin, yeah, folks, just, yeah, not to skew the data. Yeah. And, you know, Iowa has their survey. I'm not, right, sure if Illinois has one or not, but we're just trying to maintain within Wisconsin as best we can.
All right. Now let's talk logistics. First of all, how much time is this going to take? I'm busy right now, Brian. I really don't have time to play around with paperwork or anything like that. Tell me a little bit about the length of the survey and what platforms is it on? What am I going to be expecting? Paper? Is it a simple click? Tell me.
Yep. So I'm busy too, Pam. We have a online survey. It's through Qualtrics. It's anonymous, so you don't have to provide any identifying information, maybe a little bit of location, but that, mm-hmm, might land just on a region. And then it's point and click through the survey. Mm. The survey is quite long, I will admit to you, because we have all of these sections, mm-hmm, throughout. But we did, I believe, allow for, if you do not do a certain type of custom work, yeah, you are able to skip that section, right? So if you do it all, it might take you maybe 30 minutes to an hour to get through it. If you do one or two, you know, we're talking 10, 15 to thumb through it all to make sure you covered everything.
Boy, but that's a valuable component for people that do write the check. That's always kind of been our baseline. Give me a little sense on
how long we expect before you're gathering results. Will we have this by the end of the calendar year?
Yeah, so what we're planning to do, we have somebody in-house, he's actually a PhD or postdoc now maybe, that's going to start on the analysis right away. So we're actually planning is as we get data in, we're able to take this, since it's electronic, we can grab it immediately, get new results, throw them into statistical software, et cetera. And then the suggestion I made, and I think this is the way we're going to go, is we're going to do it by operation. So basically, we're going to try to get planting done as quick as we can.
Right.
And then we're going to start thinking about the fertilizer, manure application, things that happen over the summer. When we get to fall, we're going to do harvest. And if we get there earlier, fine. If we don't, though, that's kind of our deadline, is every 2 or 3 months trying to roll another analysis out for a different section and then chop through it that way. So once we get to the end of the year, you know, we'll probably let this go every other year like we have in the past and then bring it out again following and just continue that analysis as we move forward.
Now, we've got the story up as well as the link at MidwestFarmReport.com, but if people are going to do a search, do you have any keywords or anything that they should be looking for, Brian, if they want to try to find that survey?
Yeah, I think if you go just search in Google Custom Rate Survey Wisconsin, it'll get you close. If you have any trouble, obviously I'm easy to find online. If you look on the Biological Systems website, you can find my page and my email address right there. So pop me a link and I'll just send it straight out to you if you need it. But I think Google will pop it up pretty quick. And the more people that wind up using it, and as we get hits that way, it'll move higher up that Google list as we go forward.
And again, like you said, this is statewide. Doesn't matter wherever you are, even if you only consume one of the services, you need voice.
I think so. Yeah, we would appreciate that data because, like I said, it's a statistical adage. The higher the end, the lower the error. So we understand what the spread of the costs and charges are so we can let people know, you know, you can pay X dollars an acre plus or minus Y dollars an acre. That plus or minus Y really gives you an idea of, you know, how wildly that data varies and how much you can expect to see up above or below that average in your area.
Not to push you above your pay grade, Brian, but is this the only survey that's been impacted by adjustments at the Wisconsin Ag Statistical / USDA? I mean, I'm just wondering how many other reports I have consumed myself that might be at risk of not happening.
Yeah, and I you are a little bit above my pay grade, but I'll admit to you there's a lot of things that have been impacted lately about prices. And, you know, if you have funding for a survey, that's one thing. If we get that through grants or whatever it is, this custom rate, as far as I've been aware, hasn't really had any funding associated. The Rank Business Institute with Dr. Mitchell, et cetera, has funded it in the past couple of times. And as the price increased, that got too big for them. So I would say, yeah, it's probably causing some issues on some of these, maybe the rental stuff and other things across the state that we all use, know and love, I should say. I think it could be impacting, although I don't have any data to support that.
So something we'll be watching, that's Brian Luck, our University Extension Ag Engineer, in cooperation with Dr. Paul Mitchell from the Rank Agribusiness Institute, Rodrigo Worley from the University Extension Weed Science side of things, and other University Extension specialists, asking you to take time to fill out the 2025 Custom Operator Survey. Maybe you only use one service, maybe you use many. They are looking for your input. You can find that survey, which shouldn't take very long, and qualify for a gift card from Fleet Farm or Cabela's. Just search for Wisconsin Custom Rates Survey, or better yet, go to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, and look for it there. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes, The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Mino and the Mayor.
On Friday's show, TJ Bowles and Sam Ely are in from Hybrid Wrestling Entertainment. They'll give us the details on the Barrel House Blitz Friday night.
Plus, we'll check in with Mark Hewson with Bell and Sports Medicine and get a rundown of what they've got going on with the draft.
Join us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Over an inch and 2/100ths, and they're still seeing rain in that western part of Wisconsin, southeast Minnesota, northeast Iowa. Couple of other ones. Green Bay at 83/100ths of an inch, about 16/100ths of an inch at Fond du Lac, 34/100ths of an inch in Boston, 4/10ths at Eau Claire. We're not done. I expect indeed that there is going to be more rain and some thunderstorm activity in that southwest part of Wisconsin already this morning. Some severe thunderstorm warnings in effect in southwest Wisconsin early this morning. Oh, not for too long till almost 6, but be ready. We could have some more strong systems, especially in southern Wisconsin. Maybe hail, generally some pretty strong winds and localized heavy amounts of rain. That's really what I'd expect out of that activity this morning, and that should stay in southern Wisconsin. But low pressure is pulling a frontal boundary east through the state today. The warm front right off to our south is helping to keep that mild and moist air built in. So a little more rain. There may actually be some snowflakes up near Park Falls or Hayward yet by late today or tonight. I don't expect that's going to be a real big problem. But additional rain amounts easily in the 1/4 to 1/2 inch range, and thunderstorms will blow that out of the water with localized heavier amounts. Definitely a possibility. Strong winds, the name of the game today. Winds gusting up near 30 and 35 miles per hour, staying fairly brisk yet, but then diminishing as we head toward the weekend, drying it out a bit. Another rain chance could start to edge on in as we look toward late Sunday and into Sunday night. So the Easter weekend may get a little more damp at the end. I'll have forecast details right after this.
At Newfields Ag, we know that strong crops start with a strong foundation. That's why we've created Dust Plus B4, the essential planter box applied solution designed to optimize corn efficiency through increased nutrient uptake. Dust Plus B4 solubilizes the phosphorus, zinc, and iron that's already in your soil and makes it much more available to your crop. With Dust Plus B4, your crops get yield-enhancing nutrients all year long, giving you a stronger return on your investment. Visit NewfieldsAg.com or contact your local Newfields Ag dealer. NewfieldsAg.com, innovations in your field.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit RuralMutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Well, Stu, we only got about 45 seconds here. What else can you tell us about the weather for this weekend?
All right, Ben. Well, the big deal is very warm in the southeast, even a low 70 today. In the northwest parts of the state, we'll be lucky to get close to 50. The system pulls away with the rain. We start to clear it out, and a little cooler yet for Saturday, low 50s, maybe an upper 50 in the south. And Sunday, some rain by later in the day, and a little cooler, in fact, a little below normal, probably in the low 50s. But we'll be a little damp again by early next week, Ben, so just watch that moisture build up.
Well, and you were saying severe storms. Is there any chance for tornadoes?
I wouldn't think today, Ben. I think most would be very strong winds and maybe hail.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me this morning, Stu. That was your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your partner committed to agriculture and rural America. For more information, visit CompeerFinancial.com.
This is the Midwest Farm.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Ann from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for? If they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water.
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wgbw.fm/contest-terms. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A memorial will be held today on the campus of Florida State University, where two students were shot and killed and four others shot and wounded Thursday. Police say the gunman was the stepson of a local sheriff's deputy. A Maryland senator visiting the immigrant mistakenly deported from Maryland to El Salvador and sent to prison. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio with details.
Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen meeting with Kilmar Abrego Garcia in El Salvador. The senator is demanding his release. The Trump administration mistakenly deported the undocumented father from Maryland last month.
I do intend to keep at this until we ensure that Mr. Abrego Garcia has his rights to due process.
Abrego Garcia's wife saying, "My children and my prayers have been answered. I now know that my husband is alive. God is listening."
Secretary of State Marco Rubio suggesting the U.S. might move on from efforts for a peace deal in Ukraine if there's no progress in the coming days. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. After going into space thanks to Jeff Bezos, Blue Origin Company, Gail King has received quite a bit of backlash from her friends and colleagues and various celebrities. According to Variety, King addressed criticism that the flight was expensive, a self-indulgent publicity stunt, and pointless by saying Bezos' company is just trying to figure out a way to harness waste here on our planet and put it into space to make Earth better. The jury is still out on how many bags of trash they took, but it doesn't matter because in a related story, no one believes her. In case you're wondering how much participants paid to go into space through Blue Origin, speculation is that there is a $150,000 payment for the reservation, but the actual trip might have cost millions per person, and maybe even more for Lauren Sanchez, who probably had to buy extra space for her lips. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers host the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Athletics. Tonight at AmFam Field, Freddie Peralta on the mound for the Crew. NBA, the Bucks head to Indianapolis to play the Pacers. Tomorrow at noon for game one of their best of seven playoff series. Damian Lillard back at practice just a month after being diagnosed with a blood clot, but not active yet. Bobby Portis back from that 25-game suspension.
You know, I've been suspended for a little minute, so it's fun to just practice for real, and get up and down with the guys, so it's fun being in the mix with the guys and trending towards the playoffs, and it's fun to just be on the court with the guys. So it was a great day in the office.
Giannis asked about his advice to younger teammates who've never played in a postseason game.
My first playoff, I got injected. My first playoff, I tackled somebody. See, it doesn't get worse than that. But, yeah, just anybody that plays for the first time in the playoffs, just do not tackle somebody. You know, that would be my advice.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, tariffs and Wisconsin businesses. How is that working out? We talk to James Vanderloo. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with scattered showers or even an isolated thunderstorm today. A couple of isolated stronger storms are also possible, so be weather aware today. Our high in the mid-60s. Tonight, we're going to drop to 40. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 55. Easter Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Fifth Ward Brewing Company in Oshkosh, New Denmark Brewing, Duck Creek Distillery and Winery in Denmark, and Captain's Walk Winery in Green Bay. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a two-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at LoveLost.com.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
Beat Washington to the Rams.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Friday morning. I'm Ben Jarbo joining you, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. And we all know that technology is always advancing in every aspect of agriculture, and that's even in what it takes to put up new structures on the farms. In recent years, surveyors have been able to speed up their process with use of 3D scanners. Austin Tyler, a drafter and surveyor with the Shrine Group, shares how much time the use of this 3D scanner saves him, as well as how the machine works to pinpoint structures and land to as close as an eighth of an inch.
It's basically a LiDAR system that works with a tablet. And you can set it up on a tripod and you walk around the site and you set it down and you'll do a scan and you'll move it again and you do a scan. But basically it's like your laser measuring tool or measuring tapes. But it shoots millions of points out at one time while it's doing its scan. It plots all of those measurements in as a dot or dots in a 3D space, which is called a point cloud. And you can then take this point cloud and import it into AutoCAD or SolidWorks or Revit use it as a reference guide and kind of shows you, like, you know, where everything is. You can take measurements off of it. You can reproduce parts from the scan. It's a very good tool. It's helped us kind of realize things after the fact that, oh, we can't put something here because of this thing that we didn't see before, or realizing that we have more space than what we originally thought. It also captures elevations pretty well, and being able to see the elevation in the drawing that you're working in that 3D space is a very good tool.
And when you're using it and working to put things, places like bins and whatnot, how does it help with the efficiency of that whole process?
Yeah, so before, when I first started here, we were using a total station and just kind of gathering points. And these points, it worked really well. We could get elevations and we could get bin locations and concrete locations, and we could shoot the laser up and take measurements up high. But that just gave you these real basic points, and you still had to go in and take a lot of pictures and go in and then recreate the site. And that would take time to, you know, use these points and basically draw a whole 3D model of the site before you even start working on the new stuff that you're trying to add to the site. And this scanner, I can scan a pretty big grain site and within a day and have enough information in the scan to be able to know where things are, see all the guy wires, see the legs, the heights, see elevation, and just pop that into AutoCAD real quick. And I don't have to waste that day or 2 days creating the 3D model from scratch in order to add our stuff. I can go out, scan, take a day by myself and scan a site, and then come back to the office, and I already have that existing site done. I just pop it into the scan or pop it into AutoCAD or SolidWorks, and then I can add our new stuff very quickly.
And on average, how much time does this save you, being able to get this scan and have it already just being put into a 3D mode there?
So there's still a little work. You know, you have to clean up the point cloud dust flying around inside, you know, around the building or around the site, you know, we'll scatter dots around. So there's a little bit of cleanup time there, but typically we're saving about a day or two, maybe sometimes 3 or 4 days, depending on how big the site is, on, you know, we're speeding that process up on reducing the amount of time that it takes to draw all that existing stuff. So I'd probably say, you know, it could save you anywhere from a day to multiple days of work on the drafting side, just getting to the point where you can start working on your new stuff.
Tyler says that this advancement is not only important for the agriculture industry, but others as well, including law enforcement, where they use it to scan crime scenes. So that way they have a print of what it looks like in a 3D picture and can then move anything that is necessary on the scene. Now let's check in with Stephanie Hoff to hear about some vaccines that horse owners should be looking into for their animals.
Spring is the time of year for horse owners to reevaluate their vaccine regimens. Diseases are out there that threaten your prized animals, but they're preventable. Dr. Heather Roney is a veterinarian and epidemiologist with the State Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection. She's in the Division of Animal Health, overseeing the state equine programs. Dr. Roney walks us through the health risks your horse may encounter this year.
When we talk about things like Eastern equine encephalitis, triple E, or West Nile virus, those are viruses that are spread by mosquitoes. So it's important to get those vaccinations on board prior to the start of mosquito season. We do see differences year to year, and that may have to do with the weather and what those mosquito populations are up to. We had 19 cases total of arboviruses, including triple E and West Nile virus last fall. And I'd love to see fewer in our equine population this year.
Those were actually huge numbers compared to years prior.
It really does vary. Some years we don't see any cases. Some years we see 20 cases. And whether that's due to reduced vaccination or weather or all of the above, we don't have maybe enough numbers to know for sure. But what we do know is that those diseases are very preventable with vaccination, and horses that are vaccinated see better outcomes. Of those 19 cases, none of those horses were considered fully vaccinated. They were either under vaccinated, having lapsed previous years. So even older horses that have been vaccinated for these diseases previously do need to get that booster every year for that immunity through peak mosquito season.
Is it deadly to horses, these viruses?
Unfortunately, yes. Triple E and West Nile virus result in neurologic symptoms in affected horses, especially for triple E. The mortality rate is very high. And even those that don't succumb to the disease often are affected with the lingering conditions for life.
You know, another thing to keep in mind, in addition to your vaccine program, just reducing the amount of mosquitoes on your property anyway. And there's a few ways you can do that if you want to put that on your spring landscaping to-do list. But I know DACAP recommends removing brush, making sure there's no standing water. What are some quick tips to reduce the mosquito population in general around the farm?
With the weather warming up and we're all eager to get back outside, finding areas where water collects on your property, overturning buckets or wheelbarrows, creating places where mosquitoes can't breed is definitely going to help reduce your burden in the peak of mosquito season.
It's not just the horses that'll appreciate fewer mosquitoes around the property, that's for sure. Dr. Heather Roney along with us. She's a veterinarian with the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thank you for that update, Stephanie. And now if we take a minute, let's look more into the weekend, especially for you outdoorsmen who may be thinking about going out and doing some fishing. It looks like tomorrow will be the most suitable day to get out there on the water and try to get some fish. And if you are a bass fisherman, I would be looking around those drop-offs and points all around the lakes, and you might have to go out into the main part of the lake, but the fish may be starting to move up a bit as temperatures have been warmer recently. And if you do go out there, I mean, if you want to get some smallmouth, I would try throwing a Ned rig around and seeing if you can get something with the smaller presentation. I would also look at maybe a lipless crankbait. Those always seem to help me out in the spring, especially the red color, or just any really lipless with red eyes I have found are very beneficial, at least for me. You can also throw around a jig and try to see if they're not hitting on those moving baits. You might want to try that slower presentation, a little bit larger than the Ned rig, but it'll just depend on what the fish are looking at. And like always in the springtime, a jerk bait you can never go wrong with in the spring. There's always a good chance you can get something on those points with the jerk bait. Stay safe out there on the water and good luck. Stay tuned in because coming up next, Farm Director Pam Yonke has a talk with Jonathan Gibbs with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board to learn about some new research coming out.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Emerson Lehman, host of the WBAY Morning Show here in Green Bay, into the studio for a pickleball breakdown. And it's a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr drops by with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Fields for spring planting or not, they are out there taking a look at new opportunities for soy-based products all over the world. and our Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board stays engaged in those conversations. I always want to remind you to head to their website if you want to follow up. Maybe connect with a board member, wisoybean.org, wisoybean.org, because we're going to be talking a bit about research. I remind you about Dr. Sean Conley's website as well. Coolbeans.info is a great place to kind of follow along as his observations about the growing season are posted. Coolbeans.info. He's also a fiend for tweeting, or whatever we're calling X now. If you want to join up on his list, he'll keep you in the loop of conversation. My conversation today takes me to the WPS Farm Show here at the EAA grounds in Oshkosh, talking with Jonathan Gibbs, who's president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. Let's just talk about this show for a minute. Why do we do this, Jonathan? I mean, I don't know that either one of us are shopping. Me, certainly not. Why do you think these kinds of farm shows, especially at this time of the year, are so popular?
Usually this farm show is kind of the kickoff to our spring season. Come up here, whether it's looking for different vendors and booths, look at new technology, additions to your farm, changes you want to make is one possibility. Also, your neighbors, whether it's your neighbors from 5 miles down the road or 150 miles down the road, are usually here, so you get your chance to network with them and talk about last year and talk about what's upcoming this year. So it's really a nice, you know, kickoff to that spring season. Yeah. Gets you in there before planting, but really gets you in the mindset of it.
You know, we just came off the prospective planting report, hearing a lot of conversation about more corn acres, fewer bean acres. Help people understand. That's great information. It will drive the markets for a moment. But your plans, I'm guessing, were pretty well set well before that report came out.
Yeah, I mean, for the people that we as farmers, we probably started planning for this year last summer. Yeah. If you put some fall fertilizer out, sometimes what you put out is determining what you're going to plant this year. And a lot of times economics is going to dictate what you're going to do. And we've always got some room for a little change, you know, adjust here or there. But I think for most people, they've got their rotation. They've got what they do for a reason. And a lot of people are probably sticking with that, maybe adjusting here and there a little. But
right.
I don't know if there's going to be, you know, a lot of wholesale changes in the countryside.
Well, and of course, we're saying that very confidently, not knowing what Mother Nature is going to toss our way. Let's talk about how you set yourself up, not only mentally, but obviously physically for spring planting, Jonathan. A lot of work has been done while the snow was blown outside to make sure you're ready when the weather is ripe.
Yeah, I mean, we've been working on equipment inside in the winter to make sure that when we need to roll, we should be ready to go or have most of the bugs worked out. I mean, in the soybean world, when we're looking at, we're planning right now as we sit in the first week of April, we're doing a lot of, you know, intentional planning in our mind. I go back to, you know, some of the research Sean Conley has done, where he says, you know, we can go ahead and plant beans earlier than we can plant corn. We're safe. We get to that, you know, late April in the southern part of the state, and it's probably best financially for us to switch to corn, put that in if you have one planter, and then go finish up with beans once you get done with corn. The research Rodrigo Worley's done, if you're using, you know, rye as a cover crop to culturally control some weeds and so on and so forth, you're going to want to wait. You want to get that plant, rye plant, to have a little over 4,000 pounds of biomass per acre. That's kind of your knee-high rye on a thicker stand.
Right.
So you're probably going to wait a little on planting there and then kind of go back and forth. And what Damon Smith says, if you got white mold as a problem, that rye is probably going to help that, interrupt that disease cycle. But if you, you know, historically have sudden death, you might want to wait on that, you know, early planting. So that's going to be a field-by-field management decision.
Yeah.
Kind of once we start rolling, but we're thinking about that right now.
Now, you're the president of the Soybean Marketing Board, Jonathan, and I get that, but the way you recited that information back to me, is that kind of the flow of conversation at the board meetings, the flow of conversation here at the farm show, where everybody is thinking through, this is what I know because of that research, this is what I'm thinking because of that research?
Yeah, I mean, on the checkoff board, we're all farmers, so we share that same common interest, but we're from different parts of the state based on, you know, our location.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're talking about our own experiences on our farm, but we're trying, I mean, we're all contributing the checkoff, so we're all, you know, paying for that research. We want to kind of glean some knowledge off of that.
Yeah.
Share our experiences from that, and that's kind of how we make management decisions, obviously. What works for me may not work
right,
for, you know, one of our directors in the Clintonville area or up by Dallas, Wisconsin, where Andy Benson is, but we all share some same experiences.
Right. You know, the other thing is, a lot of what that research tells you you're not necessarily able to verify until you're in the driver's seat of that tractor. I mean, I was saying to Jonathan, okay, you got the planter set up the way you think you need it, and then you get into a cover crop where you need more pressure or you need an opening change or something like that. When you get in that chair, how does Jonathan's mind kind of evaluate what I'm doing, evaluate the equipment, and then think back on that research?
I go back to my, you know, agronomy experience and training, whether it was college or, you know, once I've been on the farm and kind of learned from going. I mean, we're always cognizant of, obviously, if I change going from, you know, something that doesn't have a cover crop to something right. that does, I mean, we're looking at planting depth. We're looking yep. at how we're setting our row cleaners or residue managers and where our closing wheels are. I mean, the agronomics are going to be the same no matter what you're planting. You want that seed to soil contact. Depending on the crop you're planting, you want that, you know, planting depth that's optimum.
Jonathan Gibbs along with us. He is the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. We're wishing everybody a safe and hopefully weather-free relief kind of a spring planting situation this spring. Let's hope it's a good one. They could use it. WISoybean.org can help you get connected with some of that research that our soybean growers are paying for. WISoybean.org. Or for some of the latest information on Wisconsin weather updates and how things are performing, follow Dr. Sean Conley at coolbeans.info.
Thank you, Pam. The team here with the Midwest Farm Report would like to thank you for tuning in this Friday morning. We would also like to wish everyone a good Friday and happy Easter. Also, remember to let us know how much rain you get this weekend using our Talks text line. You can text in at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Signing off from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Farmers are just a phone call away from stress relief. That's ahead on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Farmers are used to handling crop protection chemicals, livestock insecticides, and medications on a regular basis. Each product has information on safe handling. Make sure you and everyone else using these products knows and follows the directions for proper handling. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. The availability of a telehealth option is a way to encourage farmers to seek help for stresses on their mental health. It's a big part of the practice of Stephen Bunnell, a mental health counselor from Nampa, Idaho.
Basically, with farming and ranching, there's a lot of wonderful and beautiful things that come with that, and there is a lot of stressful things that come with that too. Weather and market prices and policy and political changes, and then just the workload, a lot of things that are out of the farmer's control.
Bunnell says busy farmers often feel they can't afford the time to drop everything and go see a counselor, and there may not be anyone locally offering the service. He's licensed in four states.
Even though I'm here in Idaho, I can see a farmer in Arizona or in Washington. And so that opened up the availability of mental health resources.
Ann says Bunnell, being on the phone or on a web connection with a farmer client is not that different from an in-person visit.
I feel like I can develop just as strong a relationship, and in some ways, even more of an understanding about the person, about my client.
You can find additional resources on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Author and columnist Doug Moe joins us. His new work called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, about the University of Wisconsin biochemist. Don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hey, you looking for something to do for Earth Day? Then I have the volunteer opportunity for you. Hey, it's Amanda with another new WISCO 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And Saturday, April 19th from 8:30 till noon, join the Bear Creek Preservation Foundation for their annual Earth Day, Work Day, and cleanup at the Bear Creek Greenway. This involves invasive species removal, pond cleanup, and trash pickup for those who bring kids. To learn more, go to wgbw.fm and click events. Don't forget to bring gloves.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There is a growing memorial outside the student union on the campus of Florida State University in Tallahassee, where two students were shot and killed and four others wounded yesterday when police say gunman Phoenix Eitman opened fire. ABC's Faith Abube.
The investigators say the suspect ignored repeated commands to drop his weapon, forcing them to shoot him. He's now in custody in the hospital, being treated for non-life-threatening injuries. He has refused to speak with investigators as they try to uncover what allegedly led him to this deadly rampage. This campus is closed, and the victims are painfully waiting for some answers.
Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen says he has met with Kilmer Abrego Garcia, the man wrongfully deported and now detained in El Salvador. Van Hollen says he does intend to keep fighting for Abrego Garcia to get his rights to due process. The state of New Jersey has filed a lawsuit against social media app Discord, claiming the platform recklessly exposes children to graphic violent content. This is ABC News. Hours before a resentencing hearing,